Welcome to DG's Courtroom, brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is a DFS app that allows you to play one-on-one fantasy contests. Use promo code BBALL100 to get a deposit bonus worth up to $100. You can download the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or Amazon.com. This episode of DG's Courtroom is also sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Monday, December 26th, 2016. A monster 11-game slate for Monday. Hope you guys had a nice holiday, a Merry Christmas, or whichever holiday you decided to celebrate. The judge gave you all a very nice present, or was going to, with a special Christmas Day podcast. I did the entire thing. It was a little over an hour, like about a regular show, even though it was only five games. And I normally record via Google Hangouts, and I normally just click start broadcast, and then I'm, you know, because I use so many other tabs and, you know, and I have a show sheet and I have two different screens, I really don't look back to Google Hangouts again until the end of the show when I click stop broadcast. And it just so happened this time when I went to stop the broadcast, it had Google Hangout had froze or whatever, or just kicked me out of there, and there was no more podcast. And I went back and looked, and after about 24 minutes, the show stopped for whatever reason. And it was infuriating. The judge was not a happy man. And I was up, you know, it was like 5 a.m. on Christmas, you know, on Christmas Day then. And so that was a disaster. Yeah, this is, I mean, it's amazing how much the computers and things just out of our control, I mean, that exists. And IT-wise, I'm a moron, so I have no idea what happened. And now I'm going to be monitoring Google Hangout. I'm going to have to check it like every 10 seconds, because if that happens again, I mean, man, all the blood and sweat and tears I put into that Christmas Day show. I had surprises. I had guest hosts for you. Not true. I didn't have guest hosts. But no, it was a good show. And quite honestly, I was writing on a good amount of players. I had some sneaky ninja. I think I might be getting cold again. I had some sneaky ninjas and all kinds of, you know, delicious things in that podcast. So that's my bad, guys. I'm sorry, because I did want to give you that Christmas Day DG Courtroom podcast. But hopefully you enjoyed the games. The games were awesome. The DFS wise, I did okay. I mean, I didn't do the best because my value guys didn't come through. At least some of them didn't come through. I should say, guys like Gorgie Dang killed me. Zach LaVine, those are the two big guys that hurt me from Minnesota. But overall, it was a fun day of basketball. Hope you guys had a fun day of DFS. You enjoyed the time with your families. And we move on. Another week to Monday. And we start the week off with a bang. I mean, Tuesday's only four games. Now, why couldn't they give us a nice, like, seven games or eight games on Monday and seven games on Tuesday? Would be much better. 11 games, that's too many. As I told you last time when we had a large slate like this, especially for cash games, you got to just chop off a few games, narrow down that player pool. You know, and there are one or two that are pretty nasty. So that's what we're probably going to have to do. But otherwise, it's a really good slate. Already lots of injury news, lots of stuff going on, tons of value. So it should be a fun day. Before we start, important that you rate, review, and subscribe. The judge was here for you on Christmas, even though you didn't see the show, you didn't hear the show. You do trust the judge. I grinded away till 5 a.m. like Santa. I was wearing a Santa hat during the show. Oh, what a disaster. Anyway, you can rate, review, and subscribe. Much appreciated. We must get back in the iTunes rankings. Yeah. God, some of those shows every day I look at the top 150, and some of the shows are just so porous. Makes the judge very upset. And not the judge, the bailiff. He's the one that gets mad at the rankings. I don't know why. He's an obsession with rankings. Anyway, if you guys want to do some premium services and get a consultation with the judge, whoa, that's amazing. 30-minute phone call with the judge. That sounds like too good to be true. I don't have a ton of time for those, but I have been doing a kind of like one a day right now. So if you want in on that, we'll go over, you know, roster construction, make sure you're entering the right tournaments, right contests. You can, you know, ask me about what I do for research. I basically show you kind of how I do a typical slate for the most part, or go through some of my favorite research techniques. Anyway, we can do that. Also, Chambers, I shall be updating that. I still, you know, it was crazy with the holidays and everything, so I still need to update the Chambers rankings. Hopefully I can do that on Monday. I will obviously tweet that out at Daniel A. Green 1 when that is ready. You can also view that on dgcourtroomdfs.com. You can also email me via that if you want to as well. Some of you guys don't have Twitter, which I find pretty interesting. So if you don't have Twitter, you know, email me on that via that on my website, which I still need to decide if I'm going to get start operating on a more kind of consistent basis. Let's talk Chambers for Christmas Day. First of all, guys, if you do win Chambers, can you like just make sure that I know your Twitter name? Because we now have over 375 players that have been in Chambers, and I just can't. I have an Excel spreadsheet of everyone, but I just don't have all your Twitter names. And sometimes, I, you know, if you tweet at me and I'm at work or wherever I am, it doesn't make it to the sheet sometimes. So I do my best, but it's just little old me, just the judge. I'm all alone here. So if you do win Chambers, you know, just shoot me either a note on Twitter or a DM saying, "Hey, Judge, I won Chambers tonight. My name is blah blah blah." That would help me because we have two newbies. I want to give you a proper shout out on the podcast, man. We have two newbies who took down Chambers on Christmas Day, and I have no idea how to, I can't give you a proper shout out. I can on the podcast, I guess, but I can't on Twitter because I don't know who you are. Win for Finn, his first cash and first Chambers victory. Congrats. And team_Corby, congrats to you. I don't know if you're a team of individuals playing DFS or if it's just one of you, but either way, Corby, congratulations. And Pro 14, he also, we had three Chambers on Christmas. I mean, Chambers still filled up really fast. I opened it on late on Christmas Eve, and you guys still, you know, filled that thing up within a few minutes. So it continues to grow. So Pro 14, though, won the third Chambers. That was his first win of the year, but his third cash. So congrats to him. All right, let's hop into the injury news, guys, because there's already a lot for Monday, and there's a ton of nice value, including my favorite, Fat Felton. But we'll get to him in a minute. Evan Fournier looks like he's questionable with that heel contusion. He was out last game for Orlando when they played the Lakers. So in theory, I mean, Ibaka gets a nice bump in usage, so does Aaron Gordon. Kyrie Irving and LeBron are both questionable because they may be resting after, you know, slaying the Dragon of Golden State and what was an awesome Christmas Day game. You know, if they're both out, I may just punt and just fade that game in cash games. We saw what happened last time when they rested those two. Do we really want to mess around with those bumbling, stumbling buffoons? As much as Liggins, I mean, if you watch him on Christmas Day, he's a really solid defender. I mean, do we really want to rest our fate with that guy and Channing French Fries and, you know, the rest of those busters and Richard Jefferson, who's 47 years old and still continues to play better? I don't understand how that's happening. He's dunking on everyone on Christmas Day, but on a back-to-back, do we think he's going to do great? I, you know, if they're both out, I may just kind of just fade that game. Dwight Howard, he's still dealing with that back tightness. I'm having the judge is having some back issues as well. It's funny, you know, if you ever watch Dwight in his pre-game warm-ups, he wears like this super tight, like black kind of fitted shirt that I always thought was kind of absurd looking, but it's actually like a therapeutic shirt. Cause now I'm actually wearing the same one right now. I bought a bunch. I wear them almost every day. They're actually just, they, I don't know the exact reason for it, but I think it's just like, you know, it gives you like heat and compression on your back all day long and helps with your posture as well. It's a very, it's expensive. There's these shirts, man. But anyway, I just want to get a little tidbit. If you ever see Dwight wearing that really tight shirt and let you laugh at him, it's actually for therapeutic reasons, but he's still dealing with back issues. So if he's out, we like to play our boy, Paul Millsap, and we do not like to play Mike Muscala because he always kills our dreams. Tim Hardaway Jr. is also still questionable. So in theory, the Bays, but I rocked the Bays last game out, and Bazemore absolutely just destroyed my night and made me drink whiskey and made me pour whiskey on the bailiff, and the bailiff does not like whiskey. He likes gin. He's a gin man. Who knew? Other than that, JJ Brea, whatever. Who cares about him right now? I know another big one for Monday. Looks like Damian Lillard's going to be out with a sprained ankle. No Jody Dench? Well, I mean, I don't remember last time he's missed a game. So, I mean, I guess Shabazz Napier would be starting for him. Maybe some Crab would get some more minutes. I mean, I'm not sure I want to touch them, but especially on an 11-game slate, the biggest one, I mean, CJ McCollum, I think, has like a 32% usage rate when Dame is out. So CJ becomes a really nice play on Monday, and I have not been playing him at all lately. JJ Redick is questionable, and Chris Paul is going to be out with that hamstring. He, like, I mean, we got teased all day long with him on Christmas. He was looking good. Then he was going to play. About an hour before tip, word came out he was probably going to play, and then he wasn't going to play. And then after the game, it's like he's going to be out for the next two games. So whatever, it's annoying. But I mean, you can't mess around with hamstrings. I mean, all day long. I mean, that's why I played a ton of Jamal Crawford on Christmas, and the reason I did it was because I thought that the Clippers would be so stupid to throw him back early when the regular season means nothing for them. I mean, they're already missing Blake. I mean, God forbid if something happened to CP3, they'd be one of the worst teams in the league. As you saw them lose on Christmas to the Lakers. I mean, they're deplorable without CP3 and Blake. So it's wise that he's out. And now our Fat Felton will be another solid play on Monday, as well as Austin Rivers, I think, is going to be a nice play if Redick's out for sure. And Crawford again. I mean, all these old guys, man, Crawford and Jefferson, man, they look the same that they did 10 years ago too. Vegas over-unders. Actually, hold on. Let me close this window, because I think keeping a lot of tabs open during the show is not wise. Someone was telling me, and that may be one reason why. I think too much memory going on. That's why Google Hangout crashed. Who knows? Over-unders, because of all the injuries, there's still half of them aren't even up yet. One of them that is, though, is Phoenix-Houston, 228 over-under. Houston's a 13.5-point favorite. So potential blowout here. But monster over-under, we can attack the hell out of that game. Juicy players on both sides. I really like that one. Charlotte-Brooklyn, you guys know we attack Brooklyn at every possible position. They are just the dreadful worst at every position, basically. So Kemba, Batum, it's hard after that. Because, I mean, then we go right to guys like MKG and Marvin Williams and Zeller and Kaminsky. I mean, not normally great guys, but we can look that way a little bit on Monday. Bucks Wizards 213 over under. Then we get into some nasty ones. I told you that Cleves. I don't understand why there's a Cleveland Detroit spread and over under yet. I mean, there's already one up. It's 206.5 is the over under. Cleveland's 4.5-point favorite. Why the hell does I mean, on the Christmas pod, which you never heard, I went like nuts over. I forgot which over there was an over under up. I think it was the Clippers game, and I was furious at it because it made zero sense because it kind of implied that Chris Paul was going to play. So that made me really upset. Granted, you did not get to hear the judge rant because that pod now lives in infamy. I mean, I wonder where it went. Yeah, it was a good pod. Man, you guys missed out. I was so sad. You guys should have seen me. I was crying. The bailiff was consoling me. Oh, heartbreak. I don't know why there's a Cleveland-Detroit over-under or a line yet, but Cleveland is a 4.5-point favorite. So whatever the hell that means, I'm not sure. I thought Kyrie and LeBron are probably going to be out, but that line, you think the Pistons would be favored if they're going to sit out, right? So that's bizarre. Two games that, I might have to just fade because it's 11-game slate, and you can't play everyone. Dallas at New Orleans, 197, disgusting game there in terms of pace especially. And Indiana-Chicago, normally I love to attack Indiana, and the Bulls are just a mess lately. I mean, I'm not sure, what to do here. It's a 204 over-under, so the over-under is not horrible. But there's probably just better options, quite honestly, on the board. And the Bulls do play at a nasty pace, and they are a disgusting mess. And, I mean, for tournaments, obviously, everyone's in play for tournaments. But for cash games, I'm not sure I'm going to go that way. Teams playing up in pace. Charlotte is playing way up in pace because they're up against Brooklyn. Houston's playing up in pace. It's hard. I mean, I'll probably only say that two times a year, whenever they play Phoenix, maybe when they play Brooklyn. So because they're playing Phoenix, they're playing way up in pace, and Charlotte and Houston are just juicy targets for all formats. The Clippers are playing up in pace against Denver, and we have some value plays there, so it's going to be interesting what we do with those guys. Minnesota is playing up in pace on a back-to-back against Atlanta. And that's really it. I mean, Toronto's playing a little bit up in pace against Portland, but yeah, I mean, nothing too juicy after that. Defensive versus position, anything stand out for the judge? We know that Denver, you can attack the guards. That's why I especially love Fat Felton, and even on Austin Rivers, who may get the shooting guard spot if JJ Redick is out. And Jamal Crawford is going to be another good play. The Atlanta, the same thing. You attack the guards. That's why Minnesota, I used a decent amount of Rubio. He came through for me. Didn't really play that well, but he did enough to give me over 30 FanDuel points. And he is a nice matchup again against Atlanta, as well as LaVine. I mean, even though he crushed me on – that's the problem with the Minnesota guys. It's still going to happen. Wiggins and LaVine are occasionally going to give you somewhat duds, but the minutes are so high when they do get good matchups – I think they become almost elite plays. I don't know if on an 11-game slate it's going to be elite, but Zach LaVine has a really nice matchup on Monday. Otherwise, you can attack – well, Philly. Philly's starting to defend a little better at every position. Interesting. Sacramento, you always can attack at the power forward spot. So for Philly, that means potentially I would really like – I mean, Ersan, but he's not starting anymore. So Okafor, I don't like Okafor ever, so that's not going to help me out much. What else? Anything else stick up for the judge? Nah. We got a large slate. Let's just get to the plays. The Bucks really stink at small forward. The Bucks are okay defensively, and then you get to small forward, and they stink. The problem, here we have another issue, though, is Otto Porter doesn't have a usage rate. It's like 15%. So there's some DVPs that I see that we just can't really attack for the most part, which is annoying. All right, let's move on to the top plays of the day. Google Hangout, do not crash. All right, point guard. John Wall, 9.7K. He's just become a really safe play these days. The biggest reason for that is just the usage rate, which is close to like 35%. We'll pull it up. Yeah, well, it's exactly 35% on the dot. It's just, it's that means he's always going to be a good play. I mean, not ideal situation here because Milwaukee does play a little bit slow in pace, and Dellavedova is a decent defender, but none of that really scares me with Wall. I also do prefer Wall at home, so totally fine with this play in all formats. He's pricey. He's 9.7K now, and there's lots of value at point guard. So, do you need to do it? No, in cash, especially in cash? No, you don't. But he's always fine right now. Kyle Lowry, 8.7K. At Portland, no Jrue Dench defense. I actually would prefer if Jrue Dench was playing because I would love attacking some Dame Lillard defense. Lowry's been really good lately. The last two games have been some of his best games of the year, and one was against at Utah where no one played him. The ownership was so low, and he put up a 48-point burger. I mean, Zach LaVine just killed Utah. Lowry's now torched Utah. I mean, occasionally, if you're going to get them, it's going to be at the guard spots. You're not going to get Gobert. So Lowry's coming off a couple of really nice games. Another really nice matchup here against Portland. If you don't want to pay up for Wall, save $1,000, get Kyle Lowry. I totally understand it. I think it's a totally fine play for Monday. Again, all formats for him. Eric Bledsoe, 8.2K. Never a cash game play for me, but fantastic tournament matchup. Maybe I won't say fantastic. Maybe I'll just say good tournament matchup because he is going to get some Patrick Beverley defense. The one position that Houston does defend pretty well is point guard because Patrick Beverley, he frustrates and irritates the best of them. So I'll probably look to other positions to attack for Phoenix. But Bledsoe, if I have 10 lineups, I'll at least get one probably with Bledsoe just because of the over-under of that game. Someone's got to have a good game against Beverley, right? It's got to happen at some point. Like, come on, dude's like 5'6". Jeff Teague, we'll talk in a second. Now, the next two players, it's funny. Teague and Kemba Walker, the next two players. And this, the more and more I watch of these, of Indiana and Charlotte, Indiana is Jeff Teague's team, and Kemba Walker and Charlotte Hornets are Nick Batum's team. Slow, not yet. I feel more comfortable saying that about Teague than I do. Motiques than I do saying that about Nick Batum. But like Paul George stands in a corner, and I saw similar things late in the last couple of Charlotte games where Kemba basically stood in the corner and they were running that offense through Nick Batum. And I don't know. As a huge Kemba fan, more so as I play Kemba a lot, not Batum. And I think that night I had a lot of Kemba. I was not pleased, but just something to take note. I'm not sure if Kemba's still dealing with injuries. He shot the ball horribly again in that game that I was watching. And he's not been that great. The last few weeks, it's something is not right with him. I'm not sure. With that said, Kemba has an elite matchup here against Brooklyn, 8K. So I'm going to pounce on this. I mean, last game against Chicago, Kemba still gave me 33 FanDuel points, but that is 8K salary. I mean, he really needs to give me 40, especially when point guard is so loaded, and especially on an 11-game slate. You cannot have your point guards letting you down. It's just, I mean, like even today, I mean, like LeBron did well, but I knew in every lineup where I had, you know, LeBron over Durant, I lost. Like, you know, could I still cash? Sure. But Durant, I mean, like, you know, there's just the opportunity cost. And I mean, Durant was, you know, I think had about 10 FanDuel points more than LeBron. And that was crucial, you know, in all formats, but especially if you want to take down a tournament, you got to get the top guys at the position. So, I mean, Kemba, an elite play here with Brooklyn. I will go back to the well, but just going forward, I'm just going to, I'll be watching this game to see how much, what's the usage. Is Batum getting some more usage? Because still Kemba's usage is still great. It's still 30.6%. But just something to be wary of. But on Monday, let's attack Brooklyn. Let's hope he feasts. Let's hope he gives us a 50 burger because he's stunk lately and he owes us one. Go back to Jeff Teague for a second, 8.2K. You know, this game, I don't want a ton of exposure because it's a second worst over-under of the day. If there's a guy from Indiana I'll target, though, it's going to be Jeff Teague. He's just been too sexy lately. 47, 46, 47, 42, 44 last 5 or 6 games. I mean, I call him the Indiana Teagues. You know, Paul George can go, you know, whatever he wants to do. I mean, I'm sure he's had a great time on Christmas. Well, Teague was probably studying game film. He's getting ready. This guy's balling this year. So, he can easily have a nice night against Rondo. On a slate like this, I could see his ownership being pretty low. Do you need to do it for cash? Absolutely not. But in tournaments, sure. He's been really good. I mean, I've been so surprised with how good he is. I mean, he was not that good in Atlanta. He was not playing the same way he's playing now. Dennis Schroeder, 7.1K. He's somewhat similar to Teague, except they just swapped teams. I mean, Schroeder lately, he hasn't been as consistent as Teague, but his usage is actually higher than Teague's. His usage is 29%, whereas Teague's is at 27%. Schroeder, you're getting him at about $1,000 cheaper in a better pace game. So catching Minnesota on a back-to-back. So I honestly would prefer Schroeder over Teague on Monday night. If you're going to go to either, they both could give you 40, 45, FanDuel point nights. And Schroeder's been really good lately too. 41, 32, 45, 22, 34. I like him the fact that Dwight's out, I think that benefits, you know, Schroeder and Millsap. So both of those guys are a really good place again on Monday. I mean, point guard is, man, it's loaded again. It was loaded on Christmas on only a 5-game slate, and it is monster loaded on an 11-game slate. Drew Holiday of 7.1K. I needed to narrow the player pool. I'm not going to be playing a ton of Drew Holiday. And he hasn't looked that good, quite honestly, to be the last couple games. Last couple games, he's been better. 36 and 42 FanDuel points. Before that, though, when I was playing him, of course, it was 29, 18, and 19. So he needs to show me and be a little more consistent. And in this really slow-paced game against Dallas, not a great spot for him. Mike Conley at Orlando. Is this over-under up yet? This over-under has to be just disgusting. It must not be up. Yeah. This may be another game I just have to X off and not even look to. Conley, he looked better recently against Houston. Speaking of someone who did okay against Patrick Beverly, he put up 37 FanDuel points against Beverly. That may be one of the best nights I've seen someone have against Beverly in the last couple of weeks. The minutes are slowly creeping up back from injury. So, I mean, I guess it's an intriguing tournament play. I'm not going to touch it for cash. He'll be low owned. He'll be overlooked. I think the price is still fair. So you can do Conley if you want. I mean, he's got a 29% usage rate on the year. So he does get to have the ball in his hands a lot. Darren Williams, 6.6K. Yeah, I'm just going to probably avoid this game for the most part. D-Will, he's looked good. I mean, put him in the same category. Richard Jefferson and Jamal Crawford, all these guys who are 75 years old and who have to go to senior citizen homes after the game, they've been playing really well. I mean, he's surprisingly been really good the last couple of times I've watched him play. But at 6.6K on an 11-game slate against New Orleans at that pace, no thank you. Jeremy Lin, 6.4K. Yep, I'm going to use a little bit of Lin on Monday. Not a ton. I'm not going to go crazy. The minutes, though, are slowly getting there for us. Last game, I'm not going to count because it was a blowout against Cleveland. But the game before that against Golden State, when I played one of the Crash Brothers, Steph Curry, who is now going, he's now easily Golden State's fourth best player, and I will never roster again, ever. I'm just kidding. You guys know I will. But God, Curry stinks. I mean, he is so bad. I mean, against the Cavs every time. I mean, he sucked every finals game, I mean, for the most part. And stuck. I mean, he's been so inconsistent this year in terms of DFS. And he a disaster on Christmas Day. But Jeremy Lin against Golden State a few nights ago had 32 minutes and 39 Fando points. He is going to be on my radar. I think he's still going to be overlooked a little bit. If Kemba Walker is ailing a little bit, I'm going to have one or two lineups where I stack this game, where I'll have, you know, a Jeremy Lin Kemba as my two point guards on FanDuel. I'm a little intrigued to see what Lin can do on Monday. Christmas is over, but you can still can play an Elf if you want. Elfrid Payton, 6K. I will probably not go there because I don't want to go against Memphis. It's probably be a game I'm going to look to avoid for the most part. Same with Rondo, 6K. Man, he sucks too. He gave me 18 FanDuel points on Christmas Day. I think I had him in maybe one or two lineups. I mean, I didn't have a ton of him, but I had one lineup that was really good. Now, thankfully, I covered my bases, and I played one lineup with Rubio and one with Rondo that night, and in that exact same lineup. So the one with Rubio cast and did fine, but Rondo, I think, killed the other one for the most part. You know, on a back-to-back against Indiana, you can play him in tournaments, but for cash games, I'm not going to touch him. Rubio, 5.8K, been playing better. I mean, he's been – the last five games now, he's been close to 30 FanDuel points. I didn't even think he was that good, quite honestly, against Oklahoma City. He stumbled into 10 assists. He got me a whopping 3 actual points. I'm closing this guy's picture. Stop looking at me, Ricky Rubio, smiling at me on FanDuel. Yeah, I don't feel good about playing him. It's 5.8K, though. You can attack the hell out of Atlanta guards. I mean, I think they're dead last to giving up the most to point guards. Schroeder doesn't play any defense. I'm surprised he actually gets as many minutes defensively because Coach Bud thinks he's Popovich. You think he would start pulling Schroeder for his lack of defensive effort, but he has not been. Anyway, Rubio's fine. You know, on 11-game slate, probably better options, but especially with a higher ceiling, but he's okay. Patrick Beverley, he's been another guy who's been really surprising this year, but putting up 40 FanDuel point nights occasionally, and he's been super consistent. The floors were pretty safe with him, 25, 42, 20, 27, 36, 25, 28, 27, 29. 37, 22, 27, 20. So, I mean, the floor is about 20. The ceiling is around 40. The problem is the price has come up. It is a really juicy game against Phoenix. I'll have a little exposure. You know, if I have 10 lineups, maybe I have to have Beverly in one or two. The problem is now the price has come up so high, and there's other value guys I prefer, and there's other guys, if I'm going to spend up, that I prefer. So I won't play a ton of him, even though that is a juicy game. Reggie Jackson. 5.5K. So if there's a guy from Detroit, I'll probably be Reggie Jackson. That's because that price is just glaring at me. It's screaming at me to play him. The last two games, he's been okay, 27 and 28 FanDuel points. And at that price, that's basically hitting value. Detroit's still a mess. Stan Van is trying to figure out what the hell to do with that team. But I mean, if everyone from Cleveland is out, Reggie Jackson could explode. Could give you a 40 FanDuel point night. You really could. Tournament play only for me, but I'll have some exposure on Monday. Next up. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be touching guys like Moutier and, you know, the slowest person in the world, Sergio Rodriguez or Ty Lawson, or even, Darren Collison's price is, now Ty Lawson and Darren Collison are both 4.6K. They're the exact same price. They're playing Philly, which in theory is a decent matchup. Well, Collison's minutes are like in the 20s lately. I mean, I guess maybe Ty Lawson at 4.6K. I'll use him in one lineup. Maybe if a guy I'm going to use it for Sacramento, it's going to be Lawson, not Collison right now. And then you got my two Clippers. If you want to go value, and I think Fat Felton, you know, he's at the buffet line right now. You know, feasting after that monster game he had on Christmas Day, where he put up, I think it was 35 FanDuel points against the Lakers. 8 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, and 2 steals. I mean, I don't think he's going to get you 2 blocks again. But Denver, and Moody's, Moody is atrocious defensively. I'm a little nervous to back to back because, as we know, Fat Felton's not in the best of shape. But just that's a really juicy matchup. I think it's super safe for cash games. And then if Reddick is out, I mean, Austin Rivers gonna get 35 plus minutes. I mean, he got 25 on Christmas Day. He only put up 13. But if JJ's out, who else is gonna play? He's going to get 35 plus minutes, and he's gonna stumble into 20 Fanduel points, you would think. I mean, like he's killed us many times before in the past, but not when they have four starters out. So yeah, both those guys are gonna be play for me. Shooting guard, Harden's 11.6K. I mean, the shooting guard is gets tough because Giannis has been so good lately. It's just I've been playing Giannis over Harden because Giannis is $1,000 cheaper. I might have to reconsider that for one day just because Houston's playing up in pace. And as I stated earlier, I don't get to say that often. He's 11.6K. It's expensive. I mean, he's been good but not great. I mean, like as you saw on Christmas Day, like you did not have to have Westbrook in your lineup to take it to, I think, to win the GPPs because Kyrie Irving put up the same Fanduel points and Kyrie Irving was like $4,000 cheaper. I think it was more than that. So, I mean, Harden, he's like 43, 54, 53, 57, 57, 46, 62. He's been consistent. You know, at that price, though, man, it really does limit what you can do with the rest of your lineup. And he's really got to give me close to 60. And he's not done that once in like the last 10 games. With that said, safe for cash. It's just versus Phoenix. He does have a safe floor. I mean, the floor is like 45, maybe 50 on Monday night. So I think I'm using him in cash right now, but I haven't done it in a while. But it's James Harden. Giannis, 10.6K. I'm pretty sure the last time the Bucks played Washington, which was recent, right? Yeah, it was the last game they played. Yeah, Giannis went nuts. He had 63 Fanduel points. I think that was a blowout, actually. And then Washington had a weird rotation going. He's a monster. He can do everything on the court. Pretty soon his price is going to be close to Harden's. That's how well he's playing. And I can't argue if you want to go Giannis over Harden. It's just you're saving $1,000. So he's fine for all formats, always. DeMar DeRozan, 8.3K. I love CJ McCollum defense, and I love the fact that without Lillard, McCollum's going to have more of an offensive load, so he's even going to be super exhausted on defense. So DeMar should be able to have a monster day. The problem is 11-game slate, one-trick pony. You guys know the deal with DeRozan, so probably a tournament play only for me. Nick Batum. So Batum's price keeps rising because I keep telling you it's basically his team now for the Hornets. I mean, we got the Indiana Teagues. We got the Charlotte Batums. I mean, he put up a 50-burger last game out, 42 before that, 25 and 42 and 41 the last five games or so. So this is not like a fluke. He's been consistent. He's been running that offense. I mean, look at the assists the last few games, 10, 10, 4, 5, 8. Like they're basically putting the ball in his hands. And like Kemba is basically doing what Steph Curry does, which is sickening, basically just running around screens. Like that's not what we want out of our point guards. So Nick Batum, 7.5K. I'm a little worried on this slate. He's going to be a little overowned, but I think it's a super safe play. You can attack Brooklyn at every spot, and he could easily end up, you know, close. If he puts up a 40, you know, 45 Fanduel point night, I mean, that's, you know, you can use him in cash over Harden and Giannis. I mean, you can go to actually DeMar and Batum would be an interesting little play there. I mean, obviously you get the opportunity cost is you're missing out on Harden and Giannis for tournaments. That still gives you enough upside. Normally I don't play Batum because the upside is not great, but that's slowly starting to change. And against Brooklyn, you know, ideal matchup. Next guy, I mean, shooting guard normally sucks. And so far every guy I've liked, and add the next guy to the list, CJ McCollum, I mentioned at the top of the show, without Lillard, he's got 32% usage rate. So normally I don't want to play one trick pony, but I mean, you're getting him about 1.3K cheaper than DeMar DeRozan, and CJ McCollum could easily give you a 40 burger, and without Lillard, maybe a 50 burger. I mean, playing against Toronto worries me a little bit. Their defensive versus position is, I think it's pretty high. I will confirm that. Talk amongst yourselves for a second. Where are you, CJ? Wow, yeah, yep, I was right. Toronto gives up the fewest Fanduel points to shooting guards. So, but with Lillard out, I think CJ's a nice tournament play on Monday. Bradley Beal, I mean, I like Beal. He's fine. But just the problem is I prefer McCollum, Batum, DeRozan, Giannis, Harden over him right now. So I'm you know, maybe in tournaments I'll use him a little bit. He's pretty safe. Occasionally he'll kill you, but he's okay. Zach LaVine, man, his price came up. I do not like seeing a price come up after a guy kills me in one of my lineups. But the price came up because he put a 50 burger up a couple nights ago against Sacramento, 40 actual points. I mean, the problem was on against OKC, he only played 31 minutes. What the hell is that about? Was he in foul trouble? I didn't think he was in foul trouble. I know he like tweaked his ankle at one point, like late in the third quarter, but he came back pretty soon. That's a little weird. He only got 31 minutes. Anyway, only 19 Fanduel points on Christmas Day. You can attack the hell out of Atlanta guard. So he's going to be a tournament play only for me just because I love so many shooting guards, which is another rare thing to say on a DG Courtroom podcast. For tournaments only, I mean, the minutes are locked in. And you can honestly, if you want to roll them off for cash, you still can do it. But shooting guard, there are a lot of good plays. D Wade, I just don't play Wade on back-to-backs, although he was the only bull that really showed up on Christmas Day. I'm kicking myself because I faded him completely against the Spurs. And I didn't play as many lineups as I normally play due to the holidays, and it was, you know, only a 5-game slate. But, you know, I wish I would have had just one or two lineups with D Wade. But you know, in that versus Indiana, I'm not gonna have a ton of exposure. Devin Booker, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be fading a lot of Bledsoe because of Patrick Beverley. So I got to play someone from Phoenix in this high paced game. Devin Booker he's starting to play really well lately. 39, 44 last two games, 25 and 38 the two before that. His shot's starting to fall. The price is still very reasonable. It does worry me a little bit that TJ Warren is back, but you know, he's getting James Harden defense. That's he's an elite level tournament play on Monday. Eric Gordon, 5.7K. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind Gordon. He's been consistently good. I mean, every show you hear me say, nice floor, pretty nice ceiling. The price has come up a little bit, but he's fine. Wes Matthews, I just don't really want him. He's normally at one of my cash game locks, but an 11-game slate. And the usage rate is not that great. And I'm telling you, they go to a lot of Darren Williams down the stretch and a lot of Darren Williams and a lot of Harrison Barnes isolation. And what does Wesley Matthews do? He does what Paul George does. He does what Kemba Walker's now doing. Hides in a corner like a scared little girl. Is it not politically correct to say a scared little girl? I don't know if we have women listeners, they can tell me if that's – should I say scared little boy? Is that better? A scared little child. He stands in the corner like a scared little child. So, yeah, I probably won't be using a lot of Wes Matthews. KCP, I just don't want to go near this game. Tournaments, you can do it, 5.5K. It's been bizarre watching him play with Reggie Jackson. Right now with the Pistons, I'm just not sure what you're going to get. Will Barton and Gary Harris, the next two guys. Gary Harris is going to – man, 4.7K. Is G Harris' price just never going to come up? I mean, at 25 FanDuel points last game, I might use him again for cash games at that price. It's just, man, and he's going to be getting some Austin Rivers defense. I think the last person to get some serious Austin Rivers defense was Aaron Gordon, and Aaron Gordon put up a 40 FanDuel point night. So Gary Harris, I mean, lock and load for cash games. I mean, 4.7K, come on, FanDuel, up that price. Why is Will Barton still $700 more expensive? That's ridiculous. I mean, whatever. So Will Barton, he's had a couple decent games lately. So if you want to throw him in some tournament lineups, you can do that. I prefer G Harris for cash. While Sean Kilpatrick, I knew he's going to take a tumble when Lynn comes back, but this was faster. He's really crashed down to earth. He's been under 20, three out of four last games, 4.6K. Yeah, not much to say there. I mean, if you want to play him, good luck. Ugh. Other than that, at shooting guard, Shumpert, I'll just mention. I actually did play a little of him on Christmas. Man, he somehow grinded his way to 19 FanDuel points, but it was a struggle. I mean, you think he started the game like 0 for 6 or 0 for 8 from the floor. He missed wide open threes. And he allegedly is shooting a career high 45% from three-point range. Yeah, I don't think so. He stinks. Wow, I do not want to go there on an 11-game slate. Other than that, Jamal Crawford, yeah. I mean, if all those guys are out for the Clippers, I mean, I'll play him, even though it's a back-to-back a little bit, especially in tournaments. Gave me 25 FanDuel points against the Lakers. The problem is he is a one-trick pony, so his actual points will be pretty close to what he gets you in FanDuel points, which, you know, you really need him to get then at least 20 actual points, which he easily can do, though, without all the Clipper starters. Last guy I'll mention is my sneaking ninja of the night, and that's Jody Meeks. Now, the problem is it's an 11-game slate, so I don't think I can use a ton of Meeks, but I'm going to have one lineup where I use Jody Meeks. He's 3.6K. He is starting for Evan Fournier. He got 21 FanDuel points his first game out when Fournier was out. Played 27 minutes. I've always liked Meeks. He had a really good year. I think it was for the Lakers, and then he was like hurt for a couple years, and then he was on Detroit. And then he was playing behind KCP, and Stan Van would never give him minutes. Dude, he can do some things on the court. He can shoot the ball. He's somewhat of a streaky shooter, but he's making a shot, and he's a really good defender. He can give you some steals. So Jody Meeks, my sneaky ninja of the day, a super cheap guy starting. I'm going to throw him in a tournament. Small forward. We're not going to mention LeBron because we don't know if he's playing. Jimmy Butler, 8.2K. If there's one bull I'll play, it's going to be Jimmy Butler. He hasn't hit 40 FanDuel points in looks like 5, 6, 7 games or so. The price, though, I think it was 7.8K on Christmas. I think. Now I'm all confused. Maybe that was Carmelo. Either way, yeah, no, I think he was 7.8K. But so the price has come up a little bit to 8.2K. Even though small forward is not a great position, I think I want to avoid that game for the most part. And I don't think I'm going to have that much money to spend at small forward in my cash game lineup. But tournaments, absolutely. Paul George, if you want to play, you know, Paul George of the Jeff Teagues or the Indiana Teagues, you can do it. 7.9K. He has not been great because he stands in a corner all year, but one day he's going to give a 50 FanDuel point night. I think. Harrison Barnes, 6.5K. Yeah, I don't want to touch that game. Andrew Wiggins, 6.2K. He's not a guy on Christmas. I should have played him instead of LaVine. Problem was at small forward we had LeBron and Durant, so you know it was hard to get fit into Wiggins. 36 minutes against OKC, 33 FanDuel points. You know he is what he is. I mean, he could get you 30, 40 FanDuel points. He could get you 20. He's going to give you 35 plus minutes though. Atlanta's a pretty nice matchup. I have no issues if you want to play him. I'll probably only play him in tournaments though. Gallinari and Wilson Chandler. You guys know my theory on these two boys. I prefer Chandler in cash games if you want to roll one of them in cash, and that's because Chandler's usage rate is about 4 or 5 points higher. It might be even more than that than Gallinari. Last game out against Atlanta, Chandler in 27 minutes gave you 37 FanDuel points. All year long, he's basically been a fantasy point per minute guy. He's been really good against a Clippers team that, I mean, I don't know who the hell they're going to be trolling out on Monday. So, I don't mind Chandler. I mean, with that said, Gallinari's a fine play too. I mean, he's actually getting more minutes than Chandler. And the last game, I think someone who won Chambers played them both. He stole my strategy. So I used to do that. I used to play. Now that they're both starting, you can play a Chandler Gallinari lineup, and they both could do reasonably well. It's more of a contrarian move. I obviously don't do it in cash games, but for tournaments you can do it. In the last game out, they both had like 36, 37 FanDuel points, and Gallinari's he's somewhat consistent. He's got a decent floor, so I don't mind that. The problem is that the Clippers play at a really slow pace. I think they'll still play at a slow pace with Fat Felton, so they're not in elite spots on Monday. TJ Warren is now back playing for Phoenix, 5.6K. If you want to go that route, you can do it. The last two games, he's been good. They're 29 FanDuel points both nights. He's probably going to be close to 6K soon. So we are getting him at a bargain price. I do want to avoid probably for the most part Bledsoe. So the guys from Phoenix that I'll be looking to target the most are going to be TJ Warren and Booker. So he's a really, really good, almost not elite, I'll say. I don't know if I want to say, yeah, I'll say excellent. Excellent tournament play Monday. Ariza, yeah, if you want to have one Harden and, I always like to have at least one tournament lineup where I play a Harden and usually it's Harden and Anderson, but you can do a Harden Ariza as well, a Harden Gordon, just someone who's going to get some wide open threes and Harden will get some assists so you get double the points. Otto Porter, yeah, I just don't want to go there right now with that usage rate. Covington 5.3K. I mean, I've been using Covington every game since he's getting these 35 plus minutes. He hasn't let me down yet. 24, 26, 24, 23. Now he hasn't been great. He hasn't, you know, I'm not jumping for joy playing him the last few nights, but end of the night, he hasn't killed my lineups and he's, you know, he's not helping me win GBPs. But he's relatively safe. An 11 game slate. Do I want to do it against in cash games and in the slowdown game? You don't have to, but you could. I think he's going to somehow find a way for 20, 25 FanDuel points again on Monday. Mo Harkless is 5K. Yeah, upside is really not there for me. Cephalosha, 4.6K. Whatever. You can do it. It's just annoying because occasionally he throws out like an 8 FanDuel point night, and it's just infuriating. I mean, he's basically like Roberson, except a little bit more consistent. So you can do Thabo for cash games. MKG. I mean, normally I don't like MKG, but since it is the Lakers, I mean, since it's Brooklyn, I mean, the last two games he's been better too, 36 and 20. So if you want to roll him out, I mean, I'm going to use a little bit of him in tournaments because it is Brooklyn and he should get some easy buckets in transition. And, you know, just that shot is so ugly and it's just painful. Offensively, he's so limited. Other than that, the Bays, 4.3K, wow, I told you guys he killed me a couple days ago. He had 31 minutes, too, against Denver, and he could put up 15 FanDuel points. It was just so – and he does that all the time. It's not like I was that shocked. It's just with Dwight out, I thought he'd be able to at least give me 20, 25. So Bays is always risky, but you can do it. Probably more of a tournament guy. Other than that, there's lots of value down here. If you want to jump at it, if you want to play a dart and throw it at a dartboard, there's guys like Aaron Gordon, Bogdanovich, Matt Barnes, and Damari Carroll keeps getting cheaper for us. He's now 3.8K. I mean, dear God, he's been really bad though. So that's why the price is that way. I'm telling you, one day Doug McDermott is going to win us a GPP. I don't know when. Not probably on an 11 game slate, but watch out for him because he's starting to get a lot more minutes for the Bulls, especially once they finally do something with their trade Rondo, dump Rondo, release Rondo, hide Rondo in a basement, tie Rondo up, and they can go to a, you know, have a shooter on the court at all times. Dougie Fresh is going to have a 30, 40 FanDuel point explosion. He's going to have a game where he hits like 7 8 threes. I actually played him a little bit on Christmas, and he was one of my sneaky ninjas that did not pan out. But one day for this year, he will win a GPP. I know it. Power forward, Anthony Davis. He's going to be a tournament play only for me, 11.6K. He's expensive, and he's going up against Dallas. Dallas really does no one to defend him, but it's just a super slow game, and there's other – I wanted to use my money. I'd rather, you know – for cash games, at least spending on a guy like Millsap and Jabari Parker, or even I don't know, some other guys at power forward, and at other positions, spend up. So I won't use him in cash, but he's always a good tournament play, and he always could give you a 60, 70, 80 FanDuel point night. Speaking of Paul Millsap, right now he's a lock and load in cash games. Without Dwight Howard, he's been money, 37, 45, and 45 the last three games without Dwight. He's getting like close to 40 minutes a night, which for Coach Bud is beautiful. And he's going to be getting some Gorgie Dang defense, which is okay defense, but he'll be fine. He should be able to get us that 35-40 FanDuel point night we need. Jabari Parker, his price is starting to come up a little bit. He's really good. He's really talented. I mean, like, he's fun to watch. He takes the ball out on the perimeter. The one reason I'm starting to loathe him is because he's got the Brook Lopez syndrome and the Robin Lopez syndrome, the Lopez brother syndrome, where some games he doesn't want to rebound the ball. He gets too happy being out on the perimeter, and he does not go down and get nasty with the big boys and go for the rebounds, which some days, that's one reason why his fantasy points aren't higher and why his price isn't higher. But 6.9K is still very fair for him. Occasionally he'll give you a dud, but 42, 32, 44, 23, 43, 34. I think his ceiling is around, I mean, the floor is around 25 and the ceiling is like 45. So he's fine. Not the best game of the night, but yeah, I mean, I'll probably use him in only tournaments on Monday, but I'm fine with it. Next up is Jokic, 6.6K. So the price has come up. You know, he's still learning how not to foul people. He had 160 FanDuel point night. Other than that, since he started, he's been in the, basically in the 20s. He had one game in this, like 16. He's going to be a tournament play only for me on Monday. But, I mean, on paper, he's getting like Paul Pierce or Mo Spates defense. He should smash them just so he could get a 50 FanDuel point night. I will have some exposure in tournaments for sure. Ibaka, not against Memphis. I'm not going to use a ton of him. Ryan Anderson's price has come up to 5.9K. That's because against Memphis, dude put up a 41 FanDuel point night at 31 actual points. Man, that was surprising. So here he's in an ideal spot, almost an elite tournament level play on Monday night. I will definitely have some Harden Anderson lineups. Corsi Dang, you know, another guy on Christmas that really let me down. He put up 12 FanDuel points, and that was a disaster. He was in foul trouble, I think, early. And that annoys me. Do I want to use a ton of him on Monday? No, not really. Tobias Harris, yeah, all these Detroit guys. I kind of just want to fade this game for cash games. If you want to use him in tournaments, you can do it. I mean, I expect John Lure to start again on Monday. He started the last game. I mean, Tobias in the first game that Tobias came off the bench, he was amazing. He had 35 FanDuel points against Golden State. He went nuts. And that's one reason why Lure's minutes, even though Lure started, didn't get a ton of minutes. Trevor Booker, yeah, he's been killing us all lately. 16, 18, 16, 17 in the last four games or so. He's a really risky tournament play at this point. Taj Gibson, not a big fan of that game. He was like 4.9K on Christmas. I used a decent amount of him. He was still really cheap. He was still really low owned. But I just don't love this Indiana-Chicago game. He's okay for cash games. Ersan, the minutes are down, so it's hard to get super excited about him. If Okafor ever goes out, I'm going to start using Ersan a lot. Thaddeus Young, 5.2K. Just this, that game I'm not going to play a ton of, although he's been good. Other guys I'm looking to under 5K. John Lure. 4.9K. Like I said, he's starting now. So he did get 33 minutes still against Golden State. Only 21 FanDuel points. At that price, if you tell me Lure's going to start, sure. I mean, I think he's safe for cash games and probably tournaments. He could give you a 30, 35 FanDuel point night. Other than that, I guess I'll be on look. I mean, like Caspi he's dealing with this mystery illness. He did play. He dressed last game and it didn't play a minute. So I don't know what's going on with him. If he does suit up, in theory, against Philly, maybe you could use him. Mo Buckets, Mo Spates, if you want to go back that route. With all the Clippers out, he put up 23 FanDuel points against the Lakers on Christmas. He'll probably do something similar on Monday. That's it for a power forward. Center. Cousins is 11.2K. Center's really good on Monday, so... Just giving you a heads up. I wish we were on DraftKings and we could play two centers. Oh, by the way, I think starting January 1, I'm going to roll out a Chambers for DraftKings if the demand's there. Just a little heads up for you guys. I've been looking over there lately, and I like the salaries. The salaries are really – there's some juicy guys that we can target over on DraftKings. All right, back to centers on FanDuel. Cousins, 11.2K. He's elite. I think I'm pretty sure he already went up against Embiid this year. He's playing Philly. Let me just real quickly check. Maybe they didn't. Maybe he has not played Philly yet this year. I thought I remember a Cousins Embiid. Maybe I dreamed it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't see it here. So Cousins versus Embiid will be an interesting matchup to watch. I think Cousins should have his way with Embiid. He's way too skilled offensively. He's way too savvy already. And I think it's a nice spot for him. He'll be somewhat under-owned because center is so great. I don't have the money to spend up for Cousins in cash right now, but he's fine for all formats. Towns, 9.2K. Against Steven Adams, I faded him completely on Christmas. He put up 32 FanDuel points. He had a decent game. He had 26 actual points and eight rebounds. He's been consistent lately. If you want it, you can save $2,000 if you don't want to – pay for Cousins, and you're going to get Towns. If Dwight Howard's out, I mean, I guess they've been using Millsap at the five a lot. So Towns probably gets some Millsap. We'll probably get some with Scala. But either way, Towns should have a nice night on Monday. Nice tournament play. Marc Gasol. Yeah, I mean, I might have one lineup where I have a Conley Gasol as you know, a point guard center duel. I mean, he's been good, 31-55, 41 the last three. With Conley back, his usage does hurt a little bit, but he's getting some Vucevic defense here, which, I mean, Orlando defensive versus position, I mean, they're really bad at center. Where are they? I hate 11-game slates for many reasons, but one is my Excel sheet where I have all the data is so massive for 11 games with all the players. So they're trying to find things like DVP and usage rate. It takes forever. Orlando gives up the fifth most FanDuel points to opposing centers. So Gasol, he's a sneaky under-the-radar play. He's not sexy, so he's always under-owned. I'll play a little of him on Monday. Drummond's is 7.4K. God, he has been so bad this year. Just, you can do it if you want. Yeah, if you play Drummond this year, you understand why my voice just goes, Drummond. But, you know, if you played him like last year and you're new to DFS this year, you're probably super excited. Drummond, 7.4K against Cleveland. You know, oh, man, great matchup. Yeah, whatever. You can do it if you want. Brook Lopez, 7.3K. I actually like him more with Lynn back. I think he gets open looks. When Lynn, they can do some little bit pick and roll with Lynn. He also can just – Lynn can drive and get Lopez, you know, easy layups or easy putbacks because the defense gets drawn to Jeremy Lynn. So he's fine, 7.3K. The problem is here is there's just so many other guys I like. So he'll be low-owned. DeAndre Jordan is 7.2K. You know, without Blake, we all expected him just to come out and smash like he did last year, give us these 40, 50 FanDuel point nights. Hasn't happened yet. 24 and 29, 27, I think, the first three games without Blake. Was the Denver game without Blake, too? Maybe that was, too, 34. So, you know, he's safe. I think he's just really safe, especially against Denver. We can attack their bigs. A safe cash game, safe for cash games, I think, at that price. And I'm quite honestly, I think I like him better with CP3. The fact that Chris Paul's out, I mean, there's no one to give him. I mean, Fat Felton can't really give him lobs like CP3 can. So I think that does hurt him, and he probably loses out in like 6 to 8 points each night, not getting some easy hoops that way. But he's still fine. He's yet to fully bust out. But he's got to have a monster night coming up, you would think. Embiid is 7.1K against Cousins. This is an interesting spot. Cousins draws fouls on everyone. So, you know, I'm very intrigued to see what happens here. Both guys have been taking a lot of threes lately. This should be a really fun matchup. I'll use Embiid in one or two tournaments, but I probably will not use him in cash on Monday. Vucevic, 6.6K. Wow, the price is fair, but I don't test Marc Gasol defensively. Miles Turner, 6.2K. I think he's like the second best player in Indiana after Jeff Teague. And then you probably got Stuckey's the third best player. Glenn Robinson's a fourth. Thad Young's the fifth. Then maybe Paul George is the sixth best player. I mean, Turner's fine. I vividly remember the last game I played him. He gave me 19 FanDuel points. But before that, he's been super consistent. He was in like the 30s and 40s for a solid stretch of a couple weeks. Under the radar guy, no one's going to want to touch that Indiana-Chicago game. Robin Lopez, if you saw anything on Christmas Day, you see why some people that Robin Lopez just can't be on the court for. I mean, guys like LaMarcus Aldridge, anyone on the perimeter, Lopez can't defend. So Miles Turner is one of those guys who can take you on the perimeter. He should destroy Robin Lopez. I'm not sure. Bulls can't give Lopez a lot of minutes on Monday, you wouldn't think. So Turner's an interesting tournament guy for me. Gortat, he's fine. The upside is always somewhat limited, I think, with him. But you can attack the Bucks big, so you know he's fine. Plum Dog, man, he was Mr. Consistency, and then he lately has taken a turn over to Magic Mountainville, and some 18, some 25s, 15, and then around that's a 25 and a 55. So turn that spells out tournament only to me. He's also going up against my boy Valachunas, who you know I love. Valanciunas is no joke defensively. What the one thing I'll say here is without Lillard, they're going to run a lot more of their offense through Plumlee, because I mean he's a really good passer. So that's the one thing reason why maybe I'm going to use him with Lillard out, use a little bit more of him in tournaments, and maybe he gives me like a 50 FanDuel point night somehow. Maybe he's out initiating offense on the perimeter. If he goes down low against Valanciunas, he's going to get smoked. Speaking of Valanciunas, 5.6K. I mean, man, he's against Utah, 16 minutes, 26 FanDuel points. Against Brooklyn, only 22 minutes, 29 FanDuel points. Orlando, 26 minutes, 33 FanDuel points. Fantasy point per minute monster. The problem is coach Casey hates him and never gives him the minutes that he deserves. So it's hard to trust him in cash games. Tournaments, though, if you want to use Valanciunas, you can do it. Center is loaded, though. He's cheap, though. He's fine. Tristan Thompson, man, I used him on Christmas Day. He let me down big time. Wasn't the best matchup in the world, so he didn't play a ton of minutes, only 28. That's what he gets anyway, though. But he's got not even 20 FanDuel points. So on an 11-game slate with all these great centers, you don't have to do it. Same with Chandler. I mean, I don't know. I just don't see the need to do it. You can. Other than that, under 5K, you got Bismack. You got Robin Lopez, the Bucks guys, Shaquille Okafor. The one guy I will play a little, but that's which they moved over to center, as one of my boys on Twitter alerted me to before I even looked, is that Montrezl Harrell is now center on FanDuel for Houston. His price has come up, so that's annoying. Oh, but 4.5K in the highest overrunner of the night, he should give us at least 20. He got 28 minutes the last two games. I expect him to get that again on Monday. He's a perfect fit for that system, for that Houston system, playing the up and down tempo game. At 4.5K, he should get us around, I think the floor is around 25 FanDuel points. He can get us 35. So really safe for cash games. If you want to punt center and tournaments, absolutely. All right, guys, that's it. That's the 11-game slate. We made it through. It looks like Google Hangouts did not crash. We are still live. That means, in theory, the podcast will post, and you all can listen to this. Listen to me ramble. All right, hopefully you had a good holiday, good Christmas. Hopefully you get a couple more days off. You don't have to go back to work on Monday. But enjoy the slate. Remember, if you want Chambers, tweet at me at DanielAGreen1, or if you want to do a consultation, also download the app Draft and challenge me, The Judge, and rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. All right, guys, I will see you back here tomorrow. Until then, let me get my gavel. Court is adjourned.